It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplexes and at the art house.
Warehouse, farmhouse, hen house, outhouse, or doghouse in the area.
You'll also hear about new and old films on Blu-ray and on DVD. Plus, you'll hear all the latest Hollywood gossip.
I don't care!
Okay, maybe not the latter, but it is time for Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Shizzy!
No, that's Matthew Sosi.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever, yes.
Let's see how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Sosi.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD 2.0 and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Sosi. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which I need to update at...
Oh, yeah. Filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard is the man who won the Silver Stakes game.
That's right. 3 years running.
3 years running. You have momentum.
Yep.
Welcome to the fantasy football portion of the film show. Why are we bringing this up? Because we can. Our bet is that if Kobe's team wins, and they did, Kobe gets to watch a Pam Grier film of my choosing. Mm-hmm. So, but my team did not win, which
means... And a frozen steak.
Or raw steak. You know, I'll let you prepare that. So that'll be next week when we get into Pledge Drive. But, and of course, if my team would have won, I would have shown Kobe a scary movie, but not too scary, or a freaky movie and not too freaky.
That's right.
We've set the bar with Blue Velvet.
and that is too much.
And that's too high. So anyway, I think next week, Kobe will be watching... The Pam Grier prison epic, Black Mama, White Mama. We have teenagers in the audience, so I have to really be. You are teens, right?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Okay. I'm gonna watch my P's and Q's. We'll get to our guests in a minute. There were women in prison movies done in the early 70s. Trust me on these. And there was one, and they were shot in the Philippines on the cheap. And there was one called Black Mama, White Mama with Pam Grier and, I believe, an Italian actress. And it was a female empowerment version of The Defiant Ones, if you remember Sidney Poitier and Tony Curtis when they're joined at the wrist escaping prison. So they made a female version, a female exploitation version. Hi, welcome to the Women in Prison movie portion of the film show.
We have
teenagers in the audience.
You're talking about women in prison movies shot in the Philippines. Is this in the same era as Big Dollhouse?
Correct.
Yes.
The Big Dollhouse. And, of course, its sequel to Big Birdcage. Kobe, of course, has been inflicted with the women in prison movies because of this show. You're welcome. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I'm sure we'll hear from Fair Sweet Bianca, your lovely wife, who still doesn't get the whole Pam Grier thing.
Well, I'm yet to show her Jackie Brown, so...
We need to work on that.
I feel like that's the...
We need to work on that.
Collectively. Yes. I feel like that's the...
Starting point.
That, to me, that's the pinnacle.
I think that's a really good start for Fair Sweet Bianca, because I know movies of the 70s, like you, not your favorites. But I think that's a good starting point. So you will have to work on that. We will have to work on that. Mm-hmm. I'm a sports fan, but I am not on the field. I don't like to use the term we, but we do it in this show. Anyway, we have company, ladies and gentlemen. My goodness, I have guests in the building that just kind of wander on over. And we have Suzanne George, who is the special projects coordinator here at WFYI. Hi, Suzanne.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's nice to be had. And she's got a film that she's been dying to talk about. And this happens every now and then. Somebody come over. Hey, I saw a movie. Can I go on the show and talk about it? And because we have the loose tone of college radio. Yeah, sure. Whatever. But it's also Heartland Film Festival time. They had their big soiree last night, and it is running, oh my goodness, that's running through the 25th. So there's a really fun cover story in this week's Nuvo. And we have a couple of we have a filmmaker and actress in studio. We have Zach Ocean and Sarah Evans with an H, not the country singer, Deal with it. Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hey.
You're going to learn way more useless information being on the show. I think you already have within 5 minutes. So, and you have a film called Chris, correct? This is a story. Because, wait, I'm interviewing a guy named Zach. And no, Chris? Zach? Wait, huh? So, so Zach Ocean, I have to ask, what is your father's name?
My father's name is Danny. It's like Danny Ocean.
Tell Julia Roberts to call us. And for Elliot Gould to put on a shirt, please. So tell us a little bit about your film, Chris, and how did this come about?
So we're from Los Angeles, and we have a great film program at our school. So we were sitting around one day kind of throwing around story ideas. Our film teacher tells us you have to get through 100 bad ideas before you can get a good one. And so,
and then those 100 ideas get produced. But anyway.
Right. We send those off to Hollywood.
So how
we
many,
take the
yeah,
one
saying,
good
how
one.
Many remakes of TV shows did you pitch?
So we were kind of thinking about it and throwing around some ideas. And the story for this about prom just kind of came to us because it was prom season or was coming up and people were already thinking about it.
Will he? Will she?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's like 6 months out until prom, and it was already so consumed in everyone's mind.
And wasn't there a film just simply called Prom a while back? I think.
Oh,
there was a horror film.
No,
well, no, there was
prom night.
Oh,
there yeah. was there like was, the Disney one.
There was a Disney one. So
I did see it.
I did. You did.
I did.
Any good? Did it conflict?
I mean, I don't really remember. That was about four years ago.
That memorable. That's okay. that's good. No, that's all right. I checked in with my daughter about that one because I have to check in with the little hipster. And I was like, I don't want to see that. So we didn't. No, it's not Prom Night. Not the Jamie Lee Curtis Canadian horror film with Leslie Nielsen. And then he remade it with the girl from Hairspray. Yeah, that's
not that one.
No, different. Anyway, continue. We interrupted.
So we this idea came up that we should make a story revolving around this high school obsession with prom and kind of the societal pressures that are put on everyone to find a date and find the right date and go.
Because it's the most important night of your life.
Exactly.
Four times in your high school career.
Well,
six if you keep going back. You know those guys. Not McConaughey and Dazed and Confused. All right.
Looking back on it, I think from anyone else's perspective that's not in high school, it does seem like, oh, well, it's not really that important. But, when you're in high school and you're in that moment of having to make those decisions and having to ask people and having that one night that defines you as, who you're friends with and who you're going with.
A 16-year-old knucklehead.
Right. There was a lot of pressure, and so we thought we should make a film about kind of how powerful that one night can be and the lead up to that.
Okay. And Sarah, what do you do in the film?
Zach and I co-wrote it, and I also starred in it.
Yes.
So, yeah.
So what was your angle as far as approaching the script?
Well, I think that it was a very interesting experience to have written it and then approach it as an actress, because I had already had some connection on that level with the character.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that the more I read through it, especially when I read through it with the other actors, it made this whole new connection. And it was kind of interesting to see my character the way I wrote it and then the way I acted it.
How big a difference?
I mean, I think there was a pretty big difference for me because I think as a writer, I saw it one way, and then as an actor, I was able to connect with it on a different level, but they were both such deep connections that it was kind of a fusion of both.
Did you give yourself an angelic glow in each scene? I write and direct, and I've done that as well. No. No, it's natural. shut up, Kobe. So the other thing, when connecting and getting you guys here, is this a sort of an homage to a Valentine to the films of John Hughes? Am I hearing that right? Because
yes.
I think I saw a YouTube clip of you guys debating about the John Hughes filmography.
Yes,
we did.
Oh, please share that with us.
I mean, we're both huge John Hughes fans.
Yes.
I mean, so seeing those films and growing up, having parents who, decided to show them to us. And
appreciate
that. Yeah,
when they're not ripping off Andy Garcia. I know. I got it.
But being able to see those films and how they captured that high school experience. Because if you look at Breakfast Club.
Wait a minute. Your high school was inflicted by 25-year-old kids? Right? Oh, sorry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Well, Grease, Stocker Channing was 35. Anyway, so.
But I mean, being able to see Breakfast Club, it's about kids in detention, which is such a mundane thing that happens in high schools around the world, but it ends up being so much more than that, and you get to really see into these characters' lives and who they are. Now, you know, we didn't, I mean, John Hughes is on a completely different level than us. We're still in high school.
Well, sure. Yeah.
But we wanted to capture, I think, that kind of essence of making something that really connects, even though it's just about prom.
Yeah, we were really inspired by all of his films and the connections that even 25 years later are so relatable to today. Mm-hmm. And that connection, that special connection between a film and the audience is something that we wanted to recreate.
So even though you live in Los Angeles, you made it look like the Chicago suburbs. No, that's not a... I'm sorry. Or you can make Indiana look like Massachusetts, or the other way around. Thanks,
oh, yeah.
The judge.
Yeah. Anyway. Thanks, the judge.
Anyway, sorry, state bitterness. Where all did you shoot? I mean, and I was like, how is it shooting in the Los Angeles area?
Well, we shot at our school, actually.
Okay, so yeah. Inside.
Yeah. So everything. I mean, it made life relatively easy because
Mr. Banks, I have to leave class early. Yeah, I gotta the light's just right. I gotta get this. If I don't get this, the day's ruined.
Right, exactly. Really? Yes,
this nice.
We're
joking.
We gotta do this now. We're doing it right now.
In a position. Magic.
We got to get out of class. You know, at the right time so that we can get that sweet spot between when classes get out and when carpool starts.
And damn
so
it, where's my latte?
Oh,
right. Oh, look, somebody's been in the front. Yeah, that person that's in front of the line for 3 hours. I got this spot. My kid's getting home first.
And you're filming. You have the shot. Then you hear John Stewart come to your car, and it's like,
or now at least please tell me you're not Stanley Kubrick. You're not doing 140 takes of this. You know
no.
What?
No.
You know what, Sarah? Your character doesn't even comprehend this scene until at least take 60.
I think she probably felt like that sometimes with me behind the camera. But
I was about to say, so because of the co-writing and directing, I mean, so were you able to collaborate and harmoniously? And I mean, you were able to have little conference meetings. It's kind of like when we have production meetings during the show, Kobe. Mm-hmm. So I mean, you were able to do that on the set.
I mean, yeah, because we had that whole experience of spending months developing the story before we even started writing a page of the script, and so we got to really get on the same level of what is this story. And then once we were on set, she was acting and I was directing and doing the cinematography. And so we already had that established. We knew what we wanted the story to be. And then we could just work out the little bits while we were on set.
Yeah, we had really talked about it into great depth. So already going onto set, we had an idea of what we wanted. And I knew what Zach kind of wanted from me. And I knew what I wanted Zach to do with the directing. And so we were really on the same thought process.
So shorthand.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Took a second. We have shorthand, right, bro?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, man. You mad, bro? Welcome to film sociology.
See, we wouldn't even talk. She would just see me glaring at her. And she'd be like, all right, I got to fix that.
Director glare. That's nice. Going back to shooting on location, did you do it during the day or did you do it at night with day for night shots or vice versa?
So we would do everything was shot during the day at school. Either we would shoot during our film block of class,
right,
where we would have to shoot in the very middle because otherwise you had kids going in and out of class and the noise was horrible.
No, that's cinema verite.
Yeah.
And then it's
so
natural.
There was one day where we were shooting after school and so many kids just try to, like, hop in front of the camera or, like, come on
don't
over.
Don't you want to just punch them in the throat? Yeah, I'm talking to teenagers about punching other teenagers in the throat. If you were in a shot, you would do that too. Sorry. They're stable. I've seen them. So, anyway.
Yeah, so, but I mean, shooting on campus makes life a lot easier.
Did you have to go to the school board or the principal? I mean, how's the meeting on this one?
I mean, it was more...
Did they know?
They knew. I mean, they know a lot of other groups are filming.
There's a kid with the camera, whatever.
We had to get some special permission for some shots and get security in for some of that.
Security?
Yeah.
Like football players? Or Forrest Whitaker and Fast Times?
I'm filming here, bro.
Hey, man, I got to. Yeah, you got to move. We're shooting here. You got to move, man. Sorry.
That's direct orders, bro.
They have their jerseys, but they have security written on the back. Anyway, move along. Keep stepping. I'm sorry, go on.
No, I mean, yeah, so there had to be some school intervention where they're like, oh, that's getting a little crazy. But
did they have to look at the script to see if there was anything questionable?
We always have to be conscientious of
it's NPR, it's all right.
Yeah. You know, our school, we go to Viewpoint School, and so we have this thing called VPA, Viewpoint Appropriate. So we got to make
like,
sure.
It's
not this show.
It is heavily involved in the process.
Right. Like, so we just have to make sure that it's going to be able to be screened after we film it. Because you don't want
to,
yeah.
When you go back to school, don't tell them we talked about women in prison movies.
Absolutely not.
Don't do that. And I can't stop. Anyways, and how long did it take the shoot?
Well, we started in December developing the story.
Yeah, the story was a good 3 to 4 months of
take that long.
From the time we start. Well, we did do like the practice shoot kind of.
Yeah, we
did.
So we pre-shot everything. So that took a while also to make sure we had all the shots down exactly right. And then it took a couple.
Okay, David Fincher.
We got to make sure it looks good.
But no 99 takes. Anyway,
right. So as long as you know what you're shooting beforehand, you don't have to take the 99 takes.
Very good. That's an Eastwood, Sidney Lumet philosophy.
Right.
Well done.
Yeah. So we had it all down beforehand, and then I think we spent 2 months shooting and a little over a month editing. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Yeah.
Epic,
bro.
Well, very good. So how many festivals has the film been to?
So far we've gotten into 11 festivals.
Wow.
Around the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just got into one
Serbia.
In Serbia.
You're going.
Holy cow.
You're so going. You really should go. And then tell them
we
about our
go.
Show. They don't mind women in prison movies. No.
Yeah, so we've gotten into 11. Heartland, we won for the best high school film.
Congratulations.
So the grand prize, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
So the other films, the other ones we've gotten into, but this was our big win so far.
Cool. So how many times – so you have no notes in front of you. Do you know when your film is being shown this weekend at our –
Yeah,
yes.
I got this. I got this.
Yes, dear. Go.
6:45 today and 2:30 on Sunday.
Where at?
At the AMC Castleton.
Oh, good. See, she is on it.
I am.
Like that. Very cool.
This is why I cast her.
This is the whole truth.
Dear. Even whether you're dating him or not, just yes, dear. My smarter two-thirds.
Yes, director.
Not yes. Yes, hey, our director. Yes, her writer. Cool. Now, do you have a website for the film?
We do not have a website.
Where can people go to look at? I guess we go to Heartland. We go to Heartland Film Festival's website to find out more information.
You could check out our Twitters.
Your Twitter?
Yes, absolutely.
And, go ahead. Plug your Twitter.
At Zoschin. So Zoschin.
There. That's cool.
Yeah.
At it's like, Sarah V. Evans.
Yeah.
So.
Well, sorry. I'm at Matthew Sosi. And is there anybody else who wants to plug their Twitter? Well, we have like
Sarah
multiple...
with Sarah with an H.
Yeah.
Sarah. Right. The good way of spelling it.
The good way.
Well, very cool. So how long are you going to be in town?
We'll be here until Sunday. We fly out.
Yeah.
Let's see where can we tell teenagers to go in beautiful Indianapolis?
Because
half the stuff's gone. Half the stuff they can't. Maybe duckpin bowling.
Oh yeah, duckpin bowling. Cool.
Fountain Square.
That's very cool.
Fun.
Actually, right near the Heartland offices. Actually.
Oh, do you have skinny jeans? Because you are going to Fountain Square. So
we were sitting in the filmmakers meeting this morning, and they're like, yeah, you know, after the show, we're all going to go hit the bars, go bar hopping. We're like, hey, we're 16.
Yeah.
They were like, we're going to do a champagne toast before. We're like, does that apply to everyone in the
room?
Bring
out the apple cider.
Is there an age restriction? Is there an age restriction here?
Actually, there is sparkling grape juice at Easley Winery. Hi, Meredith. And of course, it's Indiana, so you can go to Punch Burger. Just make sure you're on the proper side of the metal pole that separates you from the heathenistic bar that serves local beer.
Careful with that.
Yeah, careful with that. So, duckpin bowling at Fountain Square. Fountain Square is a lot of fun. Titerra, the Thai restaurant. What's it?
Oh, Siam Square.
Titerra's in Richmond. What am I talking about? Sangiovese's down there. Anyway, it's a lot of fun there. Let's see, downtown.
I already had some Steak and Shake, which was quite an experience.
You don't have Steak and Shake on the West Coast?
Oh, yes, no.
We do.
Did you dig it?
Oh, yeah. It was delicious.
We don't have White Castles either.
Ooh.
Yeah, you can miss that.
Yeah, you can miss that. Because
Steak and Shake was worth going to, though.
Yeah, Steak and Shake is worth going. White Castle, about a couple hours after, it's bad. I'll just leave it at that. Don't tell the school we told you about fried food. Yeah, the square is good. I mean, you got the Monument Circle.
Yeah, if anything, just hang out. I mean, literally just walk around downtown and check things out. There's a whole bunch of cool stuff to do.
And tip
downtown.
Your street musicians.
Yes.
Always tip your street
musicians.
Tip the
street musicians.
Not the cup shakers, street musicians. There you go. All right. So anyway, there's lots going on with the Heartland Film Festival.
Heartland is on.
It is on. So heartlandfilm.org for more information. I do want to give a shout out to a film called Produce, which is, I know, at least happening October 19th at Traders Point 10 at 7:15 p.m. And again, heartlandfilm.org. And you can go to Nuvo and check out Scott Shoger as well as Ed Johnson-Ott's reviews of a lot of the films that are going into town. I forgot to ask about this to you two. Have you finally decided on if Some Kind of Wonderful is a John Hughes film or not?
We're debating Pretty in Pink.
Oh, Pretty in Pink. So did you guys arm wrestle?
It
qualifies?
She gets that one. She's always right.
Yes, dear. That's
it is. Just don't even try, Zach.
So if it's John Hughes, if he presents a film, which he can't do anymore, Tarantino does the presents, Scorsese does the presents. Does it mean he put any money down on it? Probably not, but he's like, hey, this movie's cool, check it out, in that exact same tone. Scorsese said that too. Anyway.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I like it. Okay, Kobe.
Yep.
What is happening at your alma mater? What's happening at IU?
Tonight, 6:30, IU Cinema. From 1976, we have Salo, or The 120 Days of Sodom.
Ooh, yeah, you guys can't see that.
I'm
not your parents, but I'm telling you, no.
Follow that up at 9:30 with 20,000 Days on Earth.
Okay.
Tomorrow, the 18th, at 3 o'clock, we have, from 1954, in the CineKids series, Godzilla.
The original. Is this with or without Raymond Burr, does it say?
I'll get back to you on that one.
I'm going to guess, because it's IU Cinema, hi, John Vickers, that is probably the original full-blown non-American Japanese version. Anyway, continue.
We'll go with that.
Okay.
And then follow that up again, 7 o'clock, 20,000 Days on Earth. Sunday, 3 o'clock, 20,000 Days on Earth. And at 6:30, National Theater Live with Medea, not Tyler Perry's Medea.
No, the Greek tragedy.
M-E-D-E-A.
That's the family play of the year. A nice Greek tragedy about a woman who slaughters her children. actually, I directed a script of it. Film sociology regular guest. We need to get her back on. Jolene Mentink Moffitt.
Mm-hmm.
Was my leading lady in that show. Lady that told Kobe, get a date and see my show. Now you're married. So what else is happening?
And then also, I want to make a point to note, this Monday, October 20th, 3 p.m., IU Cinema, part of the alumni filmmaker series, Jonathan Banks.
Okay. And Halloween night at IU.
Blackula.
Gotta love. Do you know Blackula, gang? You can tell the school I told you about this. All right. I am a fan of blaxploitation films from the early 70s. I watched them as a kid because, well, I'm old. And Blackula is a black vampire movie about an African prince who is bit by Dracula, and then he winds up in 1972 Los Angeles. So you could do location scene. Yeah, I know that street. We do that here. No, we don't. But it stars William Marshall. May he rest in peace. A great, classically trained New York stage actor. I've seen him do I saw him do Othello on DVD. He used to have his own African American theater company. He did a one man show on Thurgood Marshall. And the two things he's known for in popular culture are he played the king of cartoons on Pee-wee's Playhouse, and he played Blackula. And he treated the material as if it were King Flippin' Lear. It's that good. He's that good. So you got, and there's going to be that and its sequel, Scream Blackula Scream, are going to be on Blu-ray in February. So
that's coming along.
That's coming along nicely.
Also, this weekend, Midnight Movies, tonight and tomorrow at Keystone Landmark. I would see this. We were talking about scary movies last week that you would voluntarily watch.
Because, Kobe, you are not a voluntary scary movie person.
No, but I think I would watch this again.
Which one?
Alien.
The original Ridley Scott's version. Have you guys seen Alien?
Yeah.
You love. Do you know the story about the big scene with John Hurt and the?
We'd love to hear.
Okay. This is going to ledge that the only people on set who knew that moment was going to happen were John Hurt and Ridley Scott.
Oh, so the reactions were very real.
That's awesome. Trick. So, not saying that Sarah has to have something bursting out of her chest.
Don't even think about it.
Well, no, not for that. There's a Ripley joke somewhere, but I'm not going to do it. That's cool. You have seen Alien.
I have seen Alien,
and you like it.
Yeah.
You know what? It takes its time, I think people are used, not your generation, you're fine, but my generation where, you know, there had to be bloodshed within the first 5 to 10 minutes, thank you slasher movies of the 70s, and this one takes its time, but once it kicks in, it can be freaky.
Yeah.
So, well, good.
Definitely freaky.
We have another scary film that Kobe will watch, but I won't make you watch it because my team didn't win this year.
Oh, that's too bad.
I know. We're gonna get to some other stuff going around town in a little bit. But Suzanne George is hanging out with us. She is the special projects coordinator.
That's right.
Here at WFYI, and as I said, occasionally somebody in the building will go, "Hey, can I come on the show? There's a movie I saw, and I really want to talk about it." And this involves her.
And that's what's happening.
And that's what's happening right now. This is how we get our guests.
You're living it, folks. Here it is.
Living the dream. So. You want to talk about the film The Guest.
I do.
Because it stars your imaginary boyfriend.
It does. It does.
Go on.
All right, so it stars Dan Stevens.
For you fans of Downton Abbey.
Matthew Crawley in Downton Abbey. And I'm still mourning him. But
Dan Stevens. The character, not the actor,
the character,
right?
Yes.
Okay, so you should see your screensaver in her office.
Yeah, you should. So he's in this new movie called The Guest where he plays a soldier recently discharged and from Kentucky. He has an excellent accent. You wouldn't even know that he was British at all.
Until you brought it up.
Well,
and the whole Downton Abbey thing is kind of a dead giveaway.
Right, yes. He was an American playing a Brit in Downton Abbey. So
I see.
Anyway, he shows up on the doorstep of a fallen comrade. His family says, you know, I was with your son when he died, and I told him I'd take care of you guys, and kind of charms his way into the house and their lives. And then, you know, is he really who he says he is? And, some people start dying. That's about all I can tell you.
Kobe, body count happens. Dead things happen.
Dead things. Murderous things happen.
They do. They
bad
do.
Chicanery. Bad shenanigans.
And he really charms his way in, you know. He helps the kid who's being bullied at school. He helps the grieving mother. He hangs out with the dad and drinks some beers. So they all kind of like him, and he's got a very, you know, charming smirk on his face all the time, and this yes ma'am, yes sir. And the teenage daughter Anna is, you know, not convinced he's who he says he is. So
things are not as they seem.
They are not as they seem. So as soon as she starts kind of checking into that, you know, things start to go down.
How long has this been out?
It's been out a few weeks. I don't know if it's still in theaters.
It was released very limited about a month ago.
Okay.
And then there's showing in two theaters in Indianapolis.
Ah, okay.
Starting last Friday.
All right.
Oh, there
so,
we go.
I have seen it twice.
You've seen it twice.
Yes.
It's that good.
It's that good, or he's that good, or both.
He is excellent in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Really convincing, terrifying, charming, perfect.
Okay, so
I recommend it. 5 stars.
Terrifying and charming and perfect.
Yeah.
That's the show.
I agree.
Well, very good. Okay.
Now, I do have to mention the soundtrack, too.
Okay.
It is kind of a 80s, early 80s synth goth, and it's not my style at all, and I'm slightly obsessed with it. It's
really
much a throwback to, like, the slasher movies that we would know. Growing up, if you're a child of the 80s.
Yes, or a cynical teenager of the 80s.
That as well.
Kobe, could you
check? Or a child of 1997.
Enjoy those types of things. That's when I graduated
Kobe,
from high school.
Kobe, do you feel old?
Yeah, I was 10.
Wow. Could you check the soundtrack for The Guest, and let's see what's on that?
Indeed.
Because I immediately thought of Tangerine Dream, but I'm guessing that's not.
I had never heard of these bands before.
These bands, really?
Yeah.
You know why? Because they weren't played on commercial radio 12 times a day?
No, not at all.
Ah, I see.
Yeah.
How are we doing there?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you know any of them either?
Love and Rockets, Survive, oh, yeah. Annie, Mike Simonetti, Clan of... What? Zymox? Survive, Stevie
like
B,
that.
Gatekeeper, Sisters of Mercy.
Yep.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. I actually played Love and Rockets at my college radio station. Yeah.
Wow.
Shut up. Some people think this is my son, really. but apparently, according to your radio mom, a cardboard cutout of George Clooney is your dad. Sorry, inside work humor. That's what we do here at Film Sociology.
I like Film Sociology, but sometimes it gets too inside jokey.
Thank you, Bianca. All right. Got some other events going on at the Irving Theater in Irvington. This might be something if you can get a cab or a ride. Tonight, 6 o'clock. And apparently there's also a locally produced short film and a costume contest as part of Shocktober in Irvington, the original 1968 Night of the Living Dead.
Mm.
Not going to that, Cove?
No, I'm not going to that.
No. Have you guys seen Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah.
Like it?
Yeah.
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 Really,
yeah,
really good.
No.
No, you're not?
No, I'm like Kobe. I don't like...
But you went and saw The Guest twice.
Only because it's more of a psychological thriller.
What I think zombies can be psychological. Brains. They're going to get them anyway. And other parts of flesh. Okay. Let's see. Going through here. Also, on Wednesday, October 22nd at the Irving, from 1974, the 40th anniversary showing, Young Frankenstein.
Cool.
Got to see that. Have you seen that?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. I'm going to keep peppering you. So far, you're batting well.
Except for Blackula.
Well,
nobody's
perfect except for maybe the guest. So,
correct.
Yeah. Jeez. Spooky Stories on the 23rd. Ghost Tours on that. A midnight picture show from 19. Oh, the Halloween show is they're doing the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Saturday, October 25th. Seen it? No, you haven't seen Rocky Horror.
No.
Yeah, that's a tough call for teenagers. I was in high school when I first saw it. Again, I cannot recommend. Well, I sort of can't recommend it because I don't want your parents calling me back going, why are you telling my kid I should go see this? But you're fine. Ghost Tours on the 31st. Thursday, November 6th. I think I'm going to have these people on the show. It is a documentary called Science, Sex, and the Ladies, The True Story of Female Orgasm. That's Thursday, November 6th. That's the day after my daughter's birthday. All right. And Saturday, November 8th, Repo, The Genetic Opera from 2008. That's a midnight screening. So, again, lots to do here.
And lots coming up.
And lots coming up, yes. Oh, and it is official. Next week's show, he'll be back in studio. One of our favorites, Sammy Terry, will be in studio. We have a local horror show host who goes by Sammy Terry, and he's going to float into studio to talk about the double feature screening on Halloween night on TV. But it's going to be a double feature of the Amityville Horror, the 1979 version with Josh Brolin and Margot Kidder, and then the remake with Ryan Reynolds, and I just lost Kobe.
I like Sammy, but I got to miss that.
You're going to miss the Ryan Reynolds. Would you watch the original Amityville
Horror?
No,
there's no way.
No? Not a chance?
Nope.
That's right. You just bought a house.
Yeah.
So you don't want to see a movie mm-hmm. about a scary house.
Nope.
No? Mm-mm. Okay. Well, you know what? I'm sure Sammy will have words with you about that.
He usually does.
Yes. And he'll also give you marital advice. Because he did. Because I think the last time he was on, you hadn't... You almost got married, or you
no?
Were...
The last time he was on, we had just gotten married.
You just got married, so that's right. He was giving you marital advice.
He sent us a wedding gift. It was very nice.
That's right, he did. So yeah, but he also says, you know, all marriages end in death, is what.
That's what it was.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And technically, he's correct in one way, shape, or form. Okay. So you mentioned Alien at Keystone Art. At mm-hmm. the Art Craft Theater in Franklin on the 17th and the 18th, 2 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. Stanley Kubrick's The Shining.
I haven't seen that in a long time.
You need to check that out again.
Yeah,
sometime.
Probably.
You know what? You'd be like Emma and watch it in the daytime.
In the daytime.
I'll watch it in the
daytime. I watch it the first time in the daytime.
My daughter likes occasionally scary movies, but she'll watch them in the daytime. When she's ready to graduate to watching them at night, that will be a big deal. So
my favorite thing about that is that she knows Jack Nicholson as the dad,
the dad from The Shining. I mean, I've shown her One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. She's like, oh, it's the dad from The Shining. Oh, man. He's done so much. You got to get past that. So, you're a fan of The Shining?
Yes, big fan. Big fan of Stanley Kubrick. I mean, yeah. How can you not be?
Well, there's people who aren't, but they're not on this show.
Right.
But but he was a guy that could do 120 takes and work for 13 months on a film. And I'm like, well, better you than me. I had a cousin when it came out on cable. I had the cousin, of course, that as we're watching it, and I was probably, I was 11 when it came out, so probably 13, and she was a couple years younger. But it was the cousin that you were watching a scary movie, and you could poke her in the side, and she'd just flip out.
Yeah.
And the beauty part is you could wait just 5 minutes.
Yep, that's me.
And do it again.
That's totally me.
That's you?
Oh, yeah.
You're the poker or the pokey?
The pokey.
Oh.
Yep.
You shouldn't have told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm not going to scary movies. You won't let me go to scary movies with you, I'm sure.
I don't know.
Or... double date, Sosie's and the Slagles. Eventually, as you get married, you have to have dinner and movies with your married friends. Don't worry about that. Anyway, that is happening at Franklin at the Art Craft Theater, historicartcrafttheater.org. On the 18th at Garfield Park at 8 p.m., The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari from 1920. On the 19th and the 22nd at AMC Showplace 17, as a part of the AMC Classics series, which just goes to show if a film comes from the 90s, apparently it can be called a classic, from 1997, Good Will Hunting.
Oh, great movie.
Yes.
Such a good movie.
Very good stuff.
See, that's old for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet it is.
That was before we were born.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, it was. You were how old, Cope?
I was 10.
Thank you.
I was 18.
Yeah, okay. none of y'all are helping. Hi, folks, you're all right. So that's happening. And then October 20th at Hamilton 16 IMAX, you have the documentary Cyber Seniors. And this is according to Nuvo, a documentary about seniors, including one ambitious 89-year-old who teams up with teenage mentors to learn about the information superhighway. There's some website jokes there, but I'm not going. And then October 20th at 7 p.m., and this is a free event at Keystone Art. A collection of 20 short films co-produced by Paul G. Allen and Morgan Spurlock, the man who gave us Super Size Me and the One Direction concert film. Don't know if he's going to use that
forget.
In his from the creator or the director of. You use the stuff you're best known for. I don't know if he's going to be from the director of One Direction.
One Direction.
Anyway, it's called We the Economy. We.
The Royal We.
The Royal
man.
We. The Economy. Have you seen Big Lebowski?
No. All hour long. Hey, have you seen that?
Have you seen that? Bro, you seen that?
You seen that?
So how are you on the Coen brothers? I'm quizzing him. Here, show your work. how are you on the Coen brothers filmography?
Weak. Coen brothers, they did, wasn't Inside Llewyn Davis?
Very good, yes. Inside Llewyn Davis.
Okay.
True Grit was Coen Brothers.
True Grit was the Coen brothers? Very good. Cool. They were made when we were alive.
Yeah. I know more. I just can't think of them off the top of my head. I promise.
And you were 10 years younger.
And it just keeps going.
It's that running joke. Yeah. So. Great. All right. How are we doing? We are on time, Cobe.
Yeah, we got like 20 minutes.
Do we?
Yeah.
You know what? Let's take a break so I can feel older.
All right.
And when we come back, I'll talk about the film Fury. We'll talk about some titles that are on DVD and Blu-ray, and we have dead people we like. Because we don't have time for dead people we don't like.
That's right.
You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
You know what? Before we get into it, let's do something here.
What?
If you're listening on Friday, we're still early. But if you're listening Saturday, if you're listening Sunday, it is day 2 of 7 of the WFYI Fall Membership Campaign. Call 1-800-233-0020 or pledge your support online year-round at WFYI.org.
And we thank you.
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Well, in case you didn't see it, here it is again.
Thank you, Tyler Hansborough.
It's Tyler season.
It is Tyler season here. Well, this is the white basketball portion of the whole show. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment or you just want to shake your head, go to WFYI.org. MSoci at WFYI.org, also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soci. We have a gaggle of guests that are in. Some are on mic, some are filming us, and others are just hanging out and okay, I played of course, clips from Clerks. How are you on the Kevin Smith filmography?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Clerks was made before
Wait a minute. Not into it or just not seen anything?
Haven't seen anything.
Okay.
Ah. Yeah.
Big difference.
How old were you when Clerks came out, Kobe? 1994?
94, 7.
Thank you.
I heard them mention Blockbuster, though, which I went to a couple times.
Oh, you did? Yeah. At the Smithsonian?
Right. Before it went out of business.
Right.
And, you know.
Well, okay. We talked earlier about The Shining because that is happening at the Artcraft Theater in Franklin. And my daughter, the 12-year-old, knew about The Shining. She knew Here's Johnny and a couple of the iconic looks. But there was an episode of South Park where Kyle's dad buys a Blockbuster video store in like 2012,
yeah.
Right? And so it turns into South Park's version of The Shining because
right.
Nobody's coming to the store, and the dad is starting to see ghosts on the aisles, and he's starting to go insane.
It's a great episode.
It is a great episode. And by the way, because I am pop culture Atticus Finch, you know, people are like, you show your daughter South Park? I'm like, yes, the episodes that don't involve body parts N, body fluids and waste. So that narrows it down a little bit. But that one was pretty good. And then there was the Scott Tinerman Must Die episode, which I think is South Park's version of Seven. But yeah, that one led to, I want to see The Shining. And I showed it to her, and she thought it was hilarious. Well, she loves seeing not subtle Jack Nicholson performances. So, but it freaked her out. And she's like, yeah, this is freaky. I'm glad I saw this in the daytime. And by the way, my 12-year-old does not sound like me. Yeah. It's like when I showed her Jaws, and she goes, "Yeah, I can see why they would have scared you when you were 5." See, the key to imitating somebody is to not sound like them at all. Like, oh, I'm Kobe. I hope the Colts win. See, then,
no, I don't say that.
No, you don't. Okay, one
they
other.
They just win.
What?
They just win. What they know they how to win.
They win games. That's their skill. Welcome to the sports show. Sociology. Okay, one other note. November 1st and 2nd in downtown Columbus, Indiana, it is
the Yes Film Festival.
17 films, narratives, documentaries, and shorts. Go to yesfilmfestival.com and or yescinema.org.
That's right.
So they got both of those. So mm-hmm. Anyway, that is happening November 1st and 2nd. We played the Blockbuster video intro, but we still have a film in theaters. There's a number of films. If you're not going to Heartland Film Festival, and really, why aren't you going to Heartland Film Festival? But there's a number of films also opening. We have The Best of Me, the latest Nicholas Sparks novel to be turned into a weepy fest. ladies, I guess I have to ask, are you into Mr. Sparks' work at all? Do you love seeing beautiful people in beautiful portions of Georgia and the Carolinas?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's mindless, you know, and the people are pretty.
Yeah.
So
I am a sucker for those movies for sure.
Okay. What is your favorite Haagen-Dazs flavor or Ben and Jerry's as you watch it? I should get my pint in.
No, I like the bars, not the pints, the little toffee almond bars.
She shows restraint.
No, I just eat the whole box. No restraint. But
wow.
We really need an expanded film snack section of the show, I feel
we should have.
Is there one at all?
Welcome to the on-air production meetings, Film Sociology.
Yeah,
Fridays.
We need to break this down. Or that means we have to bring in more people from Food Network on the show.
Yeah.
We need to get Robert Irvine back on or Artie. Who will be on the show very, very soon. Very soon. And I know Danny Boone is going to be on the program as well. But anyway, we'll get to that. Anyway, hi, production meeting. okay, so that is opening. We also have The Book of Life, the new animated film presented. I think it's produced by Guillermo del Toro.
Yes. Did you see this?
No, you know why? Because I've been in rehearsals and performance mode
as
Professor Moriarty.
Uh-huh.
How long did it take before I plugged the show? What, 50 minutes? Sherlock
Pretty
Holmes,
close, yeah.
Sherlock Holmes, The Final Adventure. We have two final performances tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 p.m. at Richmond Civic Theater. Road trip worth taking. It's just a straight shot off of I-70. Go rct.org for more information on that. So, yes, I get to play a bad guy, and I'm really liking it. And get out of my way, Jared Harris. Okay. And then Men, Women, and Children also open.
Yeah.
The Jason Reitman cautionary tale about the internet. And you guys saw this, right?
Yeah, last night.
And how is it?
I thought it was amazing.
What made it amazing?
Well, it had many different approaches. Like, the different characters kind of appealed to different people, so it was able to connect with people on many different levels.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of like sitting there for like a full minute after it ended, and I was just like, wow. I didn't really know how to react immediately, and it impacted the way that I thought for that whole night and made me, like, reevaluate.
Okay, so it's just why it's intertwining tales that all connect because of stuff that's online? Because that's what I'm kind of getting from the trailer.
Well, it's essentially a bunch of high school students and their parents, and it's the different relationships and problems that they're having, a lot of them due to internet and the different social accesses and the lack of communication that people have nowadays. Mm-hmm. And it was it was really interesting. And you're able to connect with it on so many ways, even though it is very extreme. It is so relatable.
Okay.
You're talking about the lack of, like, interpersonal communication.
The lack of physical communication. And I think a lot of it had to do with assumptions, too, on how people just assume everything that's going on, and no one really communicates and make sure of any relationships or anything. So there's a lot of confusion.
Sure.
and Adam Sandler with a beard and a gun. So there is that. Okay, so that's the opening as well. Also, Pride. Gay and lesbian activists team up to initially reluctant miners on strike to fight against Margaret Thatcher's policies in 1984 England. That is also opening. But the big film opening this week is Fury, the new film from David Ayers, who is the writer of Training Day, and he also wrote and directed a really underrated film, Days of Watch, with Jake Gyllenhaal and Michael Peña, which is out on Blu-ray this week, although I thought it already was. Anyway, but it's Brad Pitt and World War II, and don't you wish all World War II soldiers look like Brad Pitt? Although Ed Johnson already made that crack in Nouveau, but it's World War II. It's near the end, and it's a there are moments of this film that are the obligatory World War II stories. And what
World War II things?
World
happen.
War II, yeah, war things happen. And I've said this before about films about the military and the war, but I just once. I would like two guys from the same region in the platoon.
Okay.
You're from LA too? You never hear that. You never hear that.
One guy
right?
from New York, one guy from the South.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. You have to have every demographic known to man or at least close. So you have those archetypes. But yeah, just once. I'm like, hey, I'm from, yeah. San Bernardino. No way. You know, it never happens. Never. Saving Private Ryan and Finn, all of those. All of those. So, but they have this tank, and you have guys like Shia LaBeouf and Michael Peña and John Bernthal and Logan Lerman, for you fans of Perks of Being a Wallflower. My daughter loves that film. And he becomes and he's just known as Logan's character is just known as Norman, who is an office typist who somehow gets thrown into battle. So there are moments. It does feel a little bit like Training War, because you have the grizzled veteran in Brad Pitt with the newcomer, and he's learning along the way. There's also at times, if you remember, there was a film called Act of Valor, which was basically was like an infomercial for the military, which starred actual soldiers.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah, that was a couple. At times, this felt like what Act of Valor wanted to be, because it does. Except this one's a little balanced. It shows the camaraderie of war, but it also shows the ugliness of even being in the same group, stuck in the same tank for long periods of time, and how one gets on each other's nerves. So it does show the fighting amongst the platoon, but when it all comes down to it, especially in the last third of the film, they're going to stick together, and they call it the greatest job they'll ever have. It does, and I know there have been comparisons made to Sam Peckinpah's films. I don't think it's anything close to The Wild Bunch. Do you know Sam Peckinpah's work? Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to break protocol. Rent The Wild Bunch.
Okay.
It's a masterpiece.
Okay.
There's that. Have I forced that on you yet?
Yeah, that was yeah.
That's right.
That was in the early stages of What Is Kobe Watching.
The early stages of What Is Kobe Watching.
I feel like, I think that rounded out the Spaghetti Western series.
Even though that wasn't the Spaghetti Western.
I think that was like...
We did the Spaghetti Westerns, and then I made you watch. Mm-hmm. That sounds like something I do. anyway, there's some intense action scenes. It's funny, and Ed brought this up in his review, but you see the film has... it's almost like, remember the tracking hockey puck on network television? They'd have that kind of laser streak,
yeah.
So you can see where the puck is. That's kind of this way with the bullets a little bit, and that's a little distracting. And the archetype character, you know, the stereotypical characters are a little, you know, Shia LaBeouf is the Bible thumper, and then you have the Southern guy, and then you have Michael Peña is the Mexican guy who is told to speak American by Brad Pitt. Film. But even though there are some cliches, it does show you some of the ugliness of war, and I think it's worth checking out. Do you have a reaction there?
Yeah, I do.
Really?
Hang on.
Okay.
Now that was
there
a
you
good
go.
Movie.
Yeah, pretty good. Not perfect, but pretty good. All right. New on Blu-ray this week. Not a whole lot for new titles. There's just two. We have X-Men: Days of Future Past, which was kind of a lot of people's fanboy dreams, because you got to see the two young and old groups together, and And it's there's a big chunk of it set in the 70s, and oh boy, the 70s clothes and music. Oh, ho, ho. Oh, ho, ho. Boy, wasn't that crazy. Did you guys see X-Men?
Yeah.
Did you like it?
Yeah. Okay. I liked X-Men First Class better.
Okay.
Yeah.
But this one.
This is a good mix.
Yeah. The fact that everybody is together and best use of a Jim Croce song in an action film ever. And if you don't know what I mean, go rent it. It's fine. Also out on Blu-ray this week, as far as new titles, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, which actually got decent reviews, and I didn't see it, and Emma didn't want to see it, so we didn't see it. Old titles, you know, these are the questions that if you have a Blu-ray player, and I know you do, you're filmmakers, do you need this film on Blu-ray? For instance, Zoolander.
No.
That was a quick no.
That was a quick no.
You were like, what, two at that point?
DVD will work.
Oh, okay.
I think it's a pretty good film.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. I don't
need to see him in full HD, like, Blu-ray quality.
I mean, why not?
Yeah, I don't know. He's Vossian, you know. And you can look at Owen Wilson's nose. Kobe, you have to mark this one. This is a part of the Warner Archives series, and occasionally they will put out. Now, Warner Archives, of course, those are the movies that you can't buy in stores. You have to buy them online, and they're kind of limited, and they're a little hard to find. Or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, burn it for like $5.
Don't burn movies. Don't be that guy in college. Anyway, but this is a Blu-ray release of the James Cagney musical Yankee Doodle Dandy. You got to see that. You have to ask Fair Sweet Bianca. She is that is one of her fortes. Is
yes, it is
the musical.
She may have seen that. I don't know.
James Cagney won Best Actor for that as George M. Cohen, and he's great. And you get to see everyone's favorite Warner Brothers tough guy sing and dance like a boss. also out on Blu-ray because apparently you need Kingpin on Blu-ray, the bowling movie with Woody Harrelson and Bill Murray.
I might agree with that.
Really?
I agree with that.
Okay.
You should always have it ready. So when the DVD players go the wayside of the VHS players.
Wow. Okay. Let's see. Also, we have White Christmas. My Darling Clementine, you need to work on your...
Christmas, the...
Danny Kaye, right?
Bing Crosby.
Yes.
Bing Crosby, Danny Kaye, Vera Ellen.
Rosemary Clooney, yeah.
Really?
My favorite holiday movie ever.
Really?
I must tell you.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. Criterion put out My Darling Clementine. I'm wagging my finger at you, sir. Work on your John Ford filmography. Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, because why not? Sure. The Steven Spielberg Director's Collection. Now, take note. This is the films that he did at Universal. So it's Duel, Sugarland Express with Goldie Hawn, and I finally watched that this week. That's pretty good. We'll have to talk about that a little more next week. Jaws, 1941, E.T., Always, and the two Jurassic Park films you directed. So that's not a bad collection. Also, Married to the Mob, Deer Hunter, and End of Watch. All right, we don't have time for the intro of Dead People We Like.
No.
But I apologize because I said last week that there weren't any dead people we'd like die. That's not true. Actor, dancer, and choreographer Jeffrey Holder passed away at the age of 84. Besides his dancing and, the 7-Up commercial, but he was Punjab in John Huston's film version of Annie. He was also the big guy in Live and Let Die with the painted face, and also did films like Boomerang, Goosed, Swashbuckler, not Swordbuckler. he was also William Shakespeare X and Dr. Doolittle, Porgy and Bess, really good stuff. And then actress Elizabeth Peña, who passed away this week at the age of 55, known for films like Jacob's Ladder. She was a voice in, of course, The Incredibles, La Bamba, Rush Hour. She was in a great John Sayles film, work on your John Sayles films, called Lone Star with Kris Kristofferson, Chris Cooper, and a young Matthew McConaughey, set of ladies. Also films like Mother and Child, The Perfect Family, Down in the Valley, Transamerica, Tortilla Soup, and so on and so forth. So thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you, Jeffrey. Love your work. All right, gang, words to live by.
Silent Breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Okay, once more, plug when Chris is going to be shown in theaters at Heartland.
6:45 today, Friday, and 2:30 on Sunday at both at the AMC Castleton.
Thank you. It'll be shown along with all of the other high school competition films.
There you go. Well, we hope you enjoy our fair city, and thank you for being good sports.
Thank you for having us.
This list of movies, I'll hand this to you. Heartland Film, heartlandfilm.org. Go see a good movie. Go to Heartland. You deserve it. You're listening to The Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
We gone.
Good night, Fort Myers. Good night, California.